Commissioner, how you think you want to take that off your plate?
This bomb.
I know. You can find yourself to sort of things. All right. We're talking about the experience of salvation. Today, justification and regeneration. Now, we mention again that we're not talking about a chronological order, but a logical order. And logically, in the experience, repentance and faith. You must turn from your sin. By faith, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's logical. Now, the scripture teaches that in that experience, you become justified. That's a good word. It is a legal term. Let's say that I am accused in court of stealing some money. When we come out, the judge renders a decision not guilty. And we come outside. He says, "Well, Brother Gaddis, you're lucky." I'm lucky. I wasn't guilty. I was justified. I was just. I did not take the money. Do you realize that's what God makes us? He takes our sins away. We're justified. You know, not only does he take away the penalty. Now, the penalty of sin is death. The sooner we get that firmly implanted in our minds, the better off we'll all be. The wages of sin is death. And that's physical, it's spiritual, it's eternal. That's what sin does. And that penalty must be removed. It was removed by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us physically, spiritually, and he suffered eternal punishment for us. But not only that, the penalty is not only removed, but we have been restored to God's favor. Justification puts us in full fellowship, just as if we had never sinned. We receive the righteousness of Christ. How righteous am I? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Wow, that just overflows. Think about how righteous is Christ. You see, my righteousness, that's the reason salvation is a gift. You see, everything you have, you've got one of three ways. You bought it, you stole it, you earned it. You can't buy salvation. It's not by works of righteousness. That's our economic system. We work, we get paid, certainly the parable of the sheep and the shepherd come up any other way than the sheep. You couldn't steal your way into the land of God. You could steal your way into righteousness. The only way you can be righteous is to receive it as a gift. The righteousness. It's supplied by imputation. It is given to us. How can a man be justified with God? That's one of the first questions Job, probably the first book of the Bible, poses that question. Now, in the Bible, there are two kinds of justification spoken of. Justification before God, justification before man. I am justified by faith before God. I'm justified by works before man. How does a man know I'm a Christian? He sees my works and determines whether I'm justified or not. He cannot look on my heart. And that's what James means. Faith without works is dead. If I go around bragging about my faith, the world says, well, let me see something. They don't judge you by your profession of faith. They judge you by your actions. Good, bad, or indifferent, that's the way it is. And we have to accept it that way. I do accept it. I have to recognize that the world has a right to expect certain things of us. When a Christian goes around talking about he's born again, has a new nature, indwelt by the Spirit of, you know, he makes a lot of claims for himself. And so when somebody that is an unsaved individual says, what do you expect of him? They have a right to expect quite a bit out of us, don't they? When we talk to them. But you see, a lot of times that's a cop-out. You know, it's a... We speak Christianese. We have our own little language that we, you know, and we understand in our circles what we're talking about. But you know, we're trying to reach the world. And we're trying to reach them with bumper stickers and cliches and sticking a finger up, you know, and this kind of way. But we have to remember that there was a master in Israel that didn't understand. He had his master's degree, but he didn't have his BA degree. He didn't have his board again. And so he couldn't understand, you know. A lot of times we have a cart and a horse, you know, and we need to be very simple. You know, and make it as plain.
You also have to be careful about not seeing what you're talking about. Like with these people that we all sat around the field, well, we're sitting talking about this whole thing. And I kept on catching myself. Wait, I'm sure that they didn't understand that. Like, see the look on their faces. And
That's right. And, you know, in our circle, we call pre-trib, post-trib, you know. We understand what we're talking about. But they don't even know what the tribulation is, much less post-pre. Mid, you know, partial. there are a number of positions. Are the two witnesses? Oh, no. Who are the two witnesses? They have no idea what to
say.
But I wonder how many times in our preaching people sit there. He's referring to Bible stories. Remember what Zacharias said? I never met him. I don't know Mr. Zacharias. But Ezekiel did this and that. People really don't have the Bible. Fortunately, you probably have a Scofield Bible.
No, I really listen to the top.
Oh, I see.
You got notes. It doesn't have notes. It's got a little title. Psalms, actually. Parallel.
Scofield. That's the reason I use Scofield, because he has such good divisions. And every Scofield Bible is exactly the same whether you pay $5 or $55 for it. The pages are arranged exactly like that. I can pick up a Scofield Bible anywhere, and I'm comfortable with it. Oh, you have a red letter. They are so wonderful.
Well, everything's okay about it. Just a red
fire. That's basically what people are saying. You know, what the words of Jesus. So important, we've got to put things in the red.
Even in Revelation.
Well, and you know, that is just not right. What Paul said is just as much the Word of God as what Jesus said. And people just somehow have gotten that impression in their mind. The writing of Isaiah is as much inspired as the Sermon on the Mount. But
Jesus is the author.
Well, the method of justification, he states negatively, it is not by works of the law. How many people do you know that are going to get to heaven by their works? Subtly. I remember this very vividly in my experience. I don't know if you understand the Mormons, but we used to use the Mormons in California. And this man kept coming to the Mormons' support. And then this old lady came. Yes. He's so sweet. I said, no, you can't. She said, well, when I was a girl, people used to come and they pray for a week or 2 weeks. I just see people just come down and I'm sorry. I didn't doubt for that person. I said, we're not a vineyard. All right, now what is that? You see, there is in our mind the idea that if we will pray and harden the that the Lord will want to receive in the gift. That we are making ourselves
extra.
Yeah. But that just is right. And so, that's just false doctrine. That's just so much malarkey. And we better understand that. We had better comprehend that the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it isn't an idea of repeating, and begging and pleading. I see people that are really trying to save themselves by prayer. That is their last thing. I told you one. You might as well go home. You're not ready yet. What? No. I said, you're still trying to save yourself. You're still trying to pray long enough and hard enough. You are not willing to surrender to the Lord Jesus. And they walked out of the church. They left. They came back. You know this, right? And he kept it going. But you see, this idea is, I'm going to work. I'm going to do something. Even this idea that, well, I'm going to come to the Lord as soon as I can stop drinking, as soon as I can, you know, get some things straightened out here. I have some marital difficulties or whatever. And or I have some sex problems. But I'm going to get these things straightened out, and then I'm going to come to the Lord. It's all work. It's all wrong. It's any difference what you call it. It is by grace, and only by grace. And the first thing we need to understand, being justified freely by His grace. Made heirs.
I didn't realize until after I got out of the obedient movement. There's a tremendous feeling that they don't have persecution, or they don't have blessings around. And we had here in our theology class, our theology teacher, he was shaking.
Well, but this is so common. I don't believe that most of these. I read a thing about 12 years as a Baptist, an unsaved Baptist pastor. Suddenly he's saved. I don't believe that. God knows people have psychological problems. That person needs to be locked up. The thing that we need to understand, a lot of that though comes from this work system. And we teach, maybe not. But we teach that you're saved because of certain things. You can judge. We teach that. You see, the Bible does not teach that. It teaches assurance. And what we need to do is show. unless their faith is founded on the Word of God, not on how they eat. But I've had preachers get up and preach on salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And then the person would come forward, they would kneel with them, they would have prayer, and then they would say, how do you feel? I have seen that repeated. What difference does it make how the person feels? Have they received Christ? Have they accepted Him? Have they surrendered to Him? That's not how they feel about it. Oh, I feel so good now that I've prayed. You may feel any number of ways. We used to judge a person's salvation if he cried when he came forward in order to wept. I found that many times people were weeping because that they were trying to escape. They had family problems. They were going to fix it up with their wife, you know, by making this profession of faith. Our kids that had done something wrong at home, that now this is going to fix it. Not in heaven, but at home, I'm going to get it fixed up here. And I know preachers. Well, I'll just get up and confess. There's a preacher in mission. I'm going with the car in an adulterous situation. And so on Sunday morning, he got up, told people that he had a problem. He wanted them to pray for him, you know. He had prayed now and sought forgiveness. What we need to understand is there are some things you do that disqualify you from the Lord. You know, and all of the squalling and bawling is not going to change. You see, if I get in a fight with somebody, hits me in the eye and knocks my eye out, I can pray and ask God to forgive me for fighting, but I'll go through life with one eye fixed. You see, I can't say, well, how about my eyesight now, Lord? You forgave me for fighting. I get into a silly race in a car, I turn the car over, lose a leg, and you have to face the consequences. And there are people that don't want to do that. They want to accept the fact that there are some things that you can do. Thinking now of a graduate of this school, Jim Gage. He went to Columbia. He left his wife and went to a Catholic priest. Got married to a Colombian without a divorce. He came back to this country and went down to Tijuana and got a divorce from his first wife, or I guess it was maybe his second wife. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, got arrested for public drunkenness, excluded from the Anaheim church for all of these things. And now he wrote me Anaheim rather. Oh, I'm sorry, and I want to get back to Anaheim. He goes on to church and being a Christian and working with church. But there are some things you do that will that have disqualified you from the heart. And, the Lord forgive. Yeah, but your body does.
Yeah,
the woman was perfect. guess it's going to be. Linda seems, you know, in retrospect, that this affair has been going on maybe 18 years. They're living together in the San Jose area. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. We have another problem. And it's the president. He's too. He's in charge. He has the president. He's fired again. The president. I don't think we should ever pass this. Any church or call him. There comes a time when you say, that's enough. It's crazy. I hate them. But by the same token, I have accepted the responsibility of leading in the Lord's work. I accepted the call. God called me. I didn't have to accept it. I did. Now, there are responsibilities that go with it. And one of the responsibilities is that I try to live a clean life. If I don't, see, though I have been in the ministry 30 years, I had a clean record in that way. I could spend 30 minutes in a motel room with somebody else's wife, and that 30 years of ministry would be down the tube. And right there. And, you know, we need to understand that there are consequences. And
she's an alcoholic. She's about 12, 3 years at work, goes over here to the bar, drinks until it closes, goes home, goes to bed, and gets up like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I dare say most of us would be shocked at the end of how the world lives out there. And I live a sheltered life because I am a pastor and people kind of put on around me. But you're working on a public job and you see and talk to people about things that, you know, if I came on, say, oh, you know, I've got to be nice. There's a pastor, there's about regeneration, there is, that is a good word. That's a scientific word. There are animals, there are in the animal world, those that have the power of regenerating. A starfish, for instance. If you cut the point of a starfish, it will regenerate. It will grow another. It will not grow the same size. But it has the power of regeneration. It will make new. Now, we do not have that power. But the meaning of regeneration is that we, well, from the divine side, he says, the change of heart is called regeneration. Now, that's what God does. He makes us new. In regeneration, the soul is passive. In conversion, as we have seen, it is active. We may define regeneration as the communication of the of divine life to the soul. He, as the impartation of a new nature. Where did I get my new nature? It was given to me. This is God's work. Solely God's. In the first place, the term heart in the scriptures means the soul, the self, that which thinks, feels, wills, acts. It is clear that regeneration involves the whole soul. Regeneration is not a change in the substance of the soul. It is a new and a totally new work. The necessity of regeneration. Scripture repeatedly declares that a man must be regenerated before he can see God. Keep that in mind. You must be born again. There is no way that you could enjoy heaven without a new nature. Why do you get tired at church? Because you have an old nature. My wife, I've been a member here at Belfast nearly a year now. Oh, she is. Because we're used to it. I don't bother me. I'm humble enough that I can do anything. But, let's break my back. Why don't they build that building so we have it? all right. I was in New England a long time ago where the pilgrims, and they had the logs in there, and they sat there for a season. You know, and they told me that. And here I was sitting there 15, 20 minutes, you know. No wonder they had to go along and whack them and wake them up.
had the staff with the ball.
They would really see good if you didn't go to. All right, now, do you realize that if an unsaved person went to heaven, he'd still be in hell? Because he doesn't have the nature to enjoy heaven. You see, the things that people enjoy. You see, I don't have if I went to some, let's say that for some unexplained reason, I wandered into a news show in a nightclub where they have total news. And, or I wandered onto a beach where news. It was so embarrassing. I feel so out of place. All right, now there are people that enjoy that, but when they come into church, they feel out of place. You know, when you ask them, "Did you enjoy church?" No, I didn't enjoy church. I just hate it. It wasn't that bad, you know. The singing was, so you see, how could he hate it? Because that's his nature. They can't understand how you can enjoy church, and you can't imagine. I was in Dallas not too long ago, and I was waiting for a limousine heading out to the airport in front of the Statler Hilton Hotel. And, it's also where the taxi is. And four people walked out there. And they were cursing one another. They had been in the nightclub there in that taxi. And they had spent something like, you know, they're talking real, like $300-something dollars. And they were pouring. Didn't they have a great time for $300? But, you know, that was their nature. They wanted, and it was just, I thought about that. I wouldn't have gone in there for free, and they paid $300 for it. But if he were jogging, that would be commendable, you see. What does it take, for instance, what did Jenner say it took him to become the decathlon champion? Wasn't it 8 or 9 hours a day or something? Yeah. Now, did anybody, boy, Bruce Jenner, that's the way to go, fellas.
Bruce Jenner.
Okay, a fellow that's good in athletics, he has to dedicate. If you want to be good in the Lord's work, you're going to have to dedicate yourself to it. Now, again, be sure you're dedicated to the Lord and not to some man, some person. That's, to me, a cult has to have some kind of extra biblical writings and authority And it has to have some charismatic type individual that people revere above anything that is logical or reasonable. You just think about Moon, Joe, Mary Baker Eddy. Well, who's that? Oh, yes. No. Oh, yes, sir. But the man that started the way is not Stephen. All right. But you have received a new nature. And that new nature gives you the power to overcome temptation. It gives you a love for the brethren. It gives you a privilege of being God's child. By the way, where did people get the idea that privilege has a D in it? I don't know how many papers I get anymore, and they spell privilege with a D. Now let's put it this way. I'm spending a lot of time putting spelling. Knowledge.
K-N-O-W-L-E.
Privilege. What? Is that right? you caught the correction. Did you notice? Look at your watch. See how many corrections are in there. But you see, I grade on the curve. Now, you know, when you have that kind of paper, that's correct, you've got rules. Maybe we ought to have a women's curve and a men's curve. Do you know women always do their work? That is
less because they're just there to
have me. Oh, I've heard that too.
You see, I saw my wife's picture and I saw another woman's picture, so I know I didn't make the bottom.
No.
I did a good picture.
Unacceptable. But Jim did well, except the typing. I corrected a lot of things there, too. He did the one with the charismatic. The problem is that, see, she wrote on the same thing that Ray Johnson. I read hers first, now I'm reading Ray. Boy, that's not as good, is it? Yeah. Okay, well.
Tell me what you meant.
Well, I thought that. Alright.
Could you explain what you mean by grading on the curve so that I know how to go to the teacher?
Yeah.
Just tell me what you mean.
The people that make the, you don't have to make 100 to make an A. There are the people that have the best in the class get A's. And B's. So you grade, if the best grade that you have is 75, that may be it. If the worst grade you have is 60, that might be it. In other words, you go from the top to the bottom. As a teacher, I have to realize that you have come to the same class. And so, in a test, I am testing me as well as you. Did I get the material? If nobody got it, then that's a reflection on me. But if two people got 100 and others got 25, it wasn't my fault. I got it over. Those that got the 25 just weren't listening. However, if I give a test and the best anybody can do is 75, I didn't cover some of that material.
What about if there's 100, someone with 100, one person got 160, 100, and then the other 60? That would be right, would be 100. They're at the school of 60.
Well, maybe. It would depend on what the 60 grade looks like. I might not give any.
Where's the bulge? There's only one person with 100. You've got a bunch of them with 75. But one with 70.
I'm sure the one with 70. Well, in other words, I do not say 90 to 100. Is A necessary. Because there may not be anybody that falls in that. In the 80 to 90 B, 70 to 80 C, so. Because that may not be a true reflection of what I am doing as a teacher. You see, the reflection is that if nobody's up here, then I am either testing wrong or teaching wrong. And so I have to.